Ryan Sotheby joins us now, former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, and 16th place finisher at the World Series of Poker charity tournament this past Sunday. So that's how you doing?
Good, buddy.
You were rattled after that one.
Oh, I was rattled. I'm going in, if you asked me if I would have been happy with a 16th place finish, I would have said yes. So I surprised myself a little bit, but once I got into it, I was a little pissed that when I got knocked out.
What'd you lose on?
It was more me making bad calls at the time. I crawled back. I was probably about 50. I had 50,000 chips. I think the average was about 52 at that point. So I was right there. And I was on the big blind for, I think it was 5,000 or 7,500 at that point. And only one guy raised off the flop, and it was just me and him. And I had pocket sixes, which, not a great hand, but heads up. One guy, he went all in for, I think, 17 or 18. So I called him, and he beat me. I don't remember what he had. And then the very next hand, I was on the small blind, and I had pocket eights. And again, got raised. And only one guy again, and I had my eights, went with it, and I actually
you got trips.
I hit trips off the flop, and then I think I got flushed out on the river, but somewhat tough.
Well, hey, if you get trips on, and then the guy got a flush on the river, you know, yeah, that's what happens.
But well, yeah. It was fun.
Did you sign the jersey, screw you, Sotheby?
Yeah. I had a few choice words for him on my exit.
Nice. A lot of fun.
That was a great time.
Having a bounty on your head, did you feel guys were trying to go after you earlier or not? Really?
You know, I was at my first table I was at was just very friendly, cordial, talking a lot of hockey. And then I got moved to a different table, and then everyone was gunning for me at that point. We didn't have that same friendship that we built up at the first table. So guys were coming for me. You know what? That was the table that I sort of turned things around on. So maybe it did pay off for me. Guys were playing a little harder against me and maybe making some bad decisions.
So you'll be back next year?
Yeah, love it.
Nice. All right, perfect. Well, we've had one of our winners, Louise, won our first ever female winner.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We had actually two women in the final on Saturday.
Crazy.
Heads up. And Sanja, we had him on, a family doctor out in Stony Plain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he's heading down to the main event.
That's
so
cool.
It's awesome. Lots of things to discuss. First of all, the San Jose Sharks.
Ugh.
I'm still extremely confident. I picked them in seven. I didn't pick them to lose game four, five, or six, but the only other time in their league in franchise history when they've lost games four, five, and six and still were alive, they won game seven. So I'm going with history. They will win tomorrow night.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm not sure I'm that confident, but I have them going to the final in my bracket too. So, man, oh man, I didn't see this coming. I mean, if you had asked me at the start of the series, I would have thought it would have easily went six or seven, but then you see the way they come out and just dominate the first two and win the third game, and it's a completely different series right now. They got to be on their heels a bit, but thankfully they are going home. That's a tough building to play in. It's anybody's game now.
What have the Kings done differently the last three games that they weren't doing in the first three?
Well, Quick's been better. That's probably one of the biggest things. And then obviously they've found a way to generate a little more offense. They're not a team that scores a ton of goals, but they've managed to put the puck in the net. They've limited some chances. I don't think that the shot quality and the shot attempts are as high as they have been the first few games. And when they've needed them, Jonathan Quick stood very tall.
Yeah, Quick's been quite good.
Yeah,
quite good lately. So we'll... I'm curious to see, you know, the Sharks. Game seven, though, on home ice, it's funny. Home ice advantage in the NHL, if you look at us historically, in the first three rounds, it's not as important in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
But game seven is. Why do you think that is?
Good question. I don't know. I think, for me personally, I think home ice, especially in the playoffs, is a big advantage. And I think you've seen it this year, maybe more so than others, that the fans and the way that it is, obviously with last change, but just the momentum that can be built up in the building. Look at that 5-on-3 last night when the Kings, there was still a minute and 15 seconds left in the power play, and it's a standing ovation. And you just start to see the Sharks pressing, rushing. It just seemed crazy. It was a madhouse. And those types of things help you as a home team. For game seven, I don't really know. I would think that it's an advantage all the time.
Yeah, it's just in games 1-6 yeah. the last few years. Now, this year in the West, it's been different because it's been a real homer
big time
playoffs for the most part.
Big time.
In the East, though, not as much.
Yeah.
But game sevens, historically, you have a huge advantage, and that's why the regular season does matter. You know, a lot of people say, wow, whatever, you got to play better in the postseason. Sure, but you can't get game seven home ice advantage if you aren't better in the regular season.
For sure.
The Sterling situation as a former player. Now, did you ever really know your owners in Anaheim, Dallas, or Washington?
Yeah, Ted Leonis was around a lot. He would come into the room. He was probably the one I was closest with. I don't know, maybe just because I was drafted there, a young kid. But he seems to be a lot more hands-on than the others. And the Samuelis in Anaheim, they were around quite a bit as well, not as much as Ted. And then when I was in Dallas, Tom Hicks would have us over once a year for a gig at his house. But
did you really, like, I know, so once a year,
yeah.
Right, did you really know them, I guess? Like, no, players and owners?
Ted, yes.
Okay.
Ted is around quite a bit. Definitely, I mean, how well do you know them?
Sure.
Not very well.
How well do you know some of your own friends, realistically?
Right. But, yeah, Ted, absolutely. He's around a lot more. You see him around the dressing room before games, sometimes after games. Very involved.
In hockey, it's different because, you know, you would have one or two black guys on a team, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if something like this was ever said, players would still be very upset about it, especially any players that had guys as teammates. And even I think a lot of people who are just anti-racism would have a big issue with it. Silver comes down today, $2.5 million fine, a lifetime ban. And now they're going to try to get him out as an owner. Should this be a rallying point now for the Clippers more than a distraction? Because when the game's on, I don't believe that any of the stuff that happens leading up to it ever really enters into the mind of a player when the game is actually on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it should be a rallying point. I hope it is. I'm sure they're trying to use it as motivation. It's obviously a very unfortunate situation. It has to be just sickening for those guys to have to put on that jersey and go out there and play and actually make money for this guy. I mean, that's the saddest part in all this, is that by winning, they're helping him. But I think absolutely they need to try to go out and use it as motivation any way they can. And this is what they play for when you're a little kid. So I think they're going to do that.
But the distraction factor, you played in games, you played in playoff games. You know what? You have maybe an argument with a family member, teammate. When the game's on, like, none of that other stuff matters, does it?
None of that stuff. This is a pretty big story, though. This is something that clearly...
But do you think it would, like, in the course of the game, if you're sitting on the bench...
Well, not in the middle of the game.
That's what I'm talking about. So,
but before the game, it's clearly on their minds. They've shown that, and I'm sure they can use it as motivation. And absolutely, there's things that go on, whatever it is, whether it's a coach or player or whatnot, injury, that you can speak up in the middle of a game and say, hey, let's do it for this guy, or let's get the job done here. Guys, they very well could be talking about it.
Brian Sotheby, a former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins us every Tuesday and Friday on the show. A few other quick ones going to back to the NHL. San Jose and LA, we've had back-to-back games where it gets a little vicious near the end. We saw Jonathan Quick going after guys with the mask and the blocker on, which, yeah, I'm not a big fan of a goalie throwing punches with the blocker when he's got, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest goalie fan. I've never hid behind that. Does any of that matter for Game 7?
Does any of it matter, like, it'll carry over or just...
Yeah, like messages being sent, anything?
I don't think in Game 7. That's probably why a lot of that gets out of the way in the earlier part of the series. That sort of stuff for Game 7, you put that to bed. You take the punch to the face, the cross check, whatever it is, and you worry about it. If you're going to settle some scores, maybe it's next year. A lot of guys have long memories, but Game 7 is all about getting the W.